All right, so how have you been in the last 30 days? Huh? Crazy? Crazy. What's new? What's new? A lot of material. I have to pace it rather quickly. Okay, so just I'll do my best. Okay. Day two in the commercial run starts at 9, and we typically end at 6. Okay, so I'm going to end at 5 at the very latest, because I have to be at home by 6 myself. So we'll try our best, all right? 5 ways to become a 5-star people manager. Number one, make sure 5 structures and processes are in place. The mission, the vision, job descriptions, performance appraisals, and career tracks, okay? Those are CEO or head of the organization chores, but I want you to stop thinking about your bosses. I want you to think of yourself as the CEO of your team, okay? So that all of those things apply to you. Number two, cultivate blank, not authority. Influence, very good. You don't cultivate authority, it is attached to your title. You show up in the morning, you're a person of authority. But you are not necessarily a person of influence. Leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. You cultivate influence by building blank, strong relationships, okay? You enhance relationships by connecting with your people, getting to know them at a personal level, doing MBWA and what is MBWA? Management by walking around. All right. You strengthen relationships by being a blank. You enhance relationships by being a blank. This is an open book quiz. Shame on you if you can't give me the answer. A genuinely caring person, okay? You enhance relationships, strengthen relationships by being a genuinely caring person, okay? The hallmark of a caring individual is that he or she takes the initiative, okay? Takes the initiative to get to know his or her people, takes the initiative to develop those relationships. We don't, believe it or not, we are not wired to develop relationships. We are wired to produce results, okay? And we take people for granted unwittingly. And when we do that, we dehumanize the human resource. When you dehumanize the human resource, resource na lang siya, to be utilized, you unwittingly develop a utilitarian mindset. You become user-friendly. You know, you will use people. And I'm telling you, one of the most guilty people in using people are pastors. Exhibit A, myself. And that's how I learned it. And, you know, us in God's work, we almost are blinded by our own utilitarian ways. But the sooner you come to realize that, yes, we tend to utilize people. We tend to dehumanize the human resource. And wow, we end up having a utilitarian mindset. When we do that, we get the minimum from people. However, when you acknowledge the humanity of people and you deal with them like human beings, you get the maximum from them because the commitment kicks in, all right? You get to know people by striking a conversation, okay? You enhance your leadership by being authentic and having integrity, okay? It does not mean you become a perfect person. God is not looking for perfect people to make leaders out of them, because the last time he checked, they don't exist. He's looking for broken people. You remember our description of a broken person? He or she who is very well aware of his or her shortcomings, also known as sins, and he or she is willing to man up or woman up when issues are brought against him or her. Number three, develop a menu of leadership styles, okay? develop a menu of leadership styles. And the principle is people at different levels of development need different leadership approaches. And so you cannot use your dominant leadership style all the time because that is inherently problematic. And leadership to be effective must be the big S, situational, okay? To be effective, leadership must be situational. What is the best leadership style? It depends on the situation. And what is the specific situation that, that drives leadership style? It's the readiness of the follower, okay? R1 to R4 will suggest A1 to A4, approach 1 to approach 4. Approach 1 is commanding, approach 2 is persuading, approach 3 is involving, approach 4 is empowering. All right. Because leadership is situational, effective leadership is situational, you need to learn to, make yourself less. Okay, you have to be selfless. You remember? Be selfless, how to become a readiness-based leader. Be selfless, what's the second one? Be wise, yes. Appreciate that inconsistency is a virtue as far as leadership style is concerned, okay? Situational leadership does not mean situational ethics, all right? Ethics, ibang usapan yun, absolute yun, all right? So be selfless, be wise, be a mentor, and be secure. And we concluded the last time on the basis of those four requirements. Wow, leadership is spiritual or it is nothing, okay? Leadership is spiritual or it's nothing. So to become an effective leader, you must cultivate the vertical relationship of your, the vertical dimension of your life, the spiritual dimension of your life. And you know what? Us Christians, this is our narrative. Selflessness is supposed to be our narrative. And by virtue of what is fed to us Sunday in and Sunday out, and what we feed ourselves when we do our quiet time, we are supposed to have an edge over the world on spirituality. But you will be surprised. If you don't cultivate the spiritual dimension of your life, you're going to be carnal and selfless, and I'm sorry, selfish, and you will not become a leader who's willing to shift styles depending on the readiness of the follower. The mentality of selfish people would be, ano ka? Ako boss mo, ako mag-adjust sa'yo? Ano ka? Siniswerte. You see. So you need, there's a lot of humility in effective leadership because at the end of the day, effective leadership is spiritual or it is nothing. Okay, in your manual, you should be on page 38. We're on session 4. We're going to do session 4 this morning. It will spill over into early afternoon, then we're going to do session 5, and hopefully I can land the seminar quickly by 4:45. Number 4 is mentor, coach, then empower your people. Mentor, coach, then empower your people. The title in itself is the message, okay? I call this the leadership imperative. You must mentor. You must coach. I also call this the leadership trap. After you mentor, after you coach, and your people grow, you must empower. You have no choice. You must mentor and coach if you want to be a great leader. When you become successful and your people grow, you must empower. Otherwise, I mean, I'm going to scratch my head and say, well, what did you do that for? You mentored people, you coached people, they grew. And they're ready for empowerment, and you don't want to empower them. What did you do that for? Why waste your time? So, if you don't want to empower people, don't even mentor or coach them. Sayang yung panahon, okay? So it is the leadership imperative. It is also the leadership trap. You have no choice but to empower people after you have mentored and coached them. Okay, two questions. Do you mentor or coach your people? Is anyone mentoring or coaching you? Okay. We're going to deal with the first question all day. So I want to get rid of question number two. Is anyone mentoring or coaching you? Okay. In the perfect world, your direct supervisor, your boss, is supposed to be your mentor slash coach, okay? Should be your five-star mentor or coach. It is not necessary to get a five-star mentor or coach to become a five-star people manager, but it will be so much easier, okay? It will be so much easier if you have a five-star mentor or coach. So how many of you have a five-star mentor or coach right now? Anybody? Okay. A discipler is a mentor coach. Okay. A supervisor is a mentor coach. How many of you want to have a five-star mentor coach? All right. Those who don't have one. And those who don't have one, how many of you want to know how to get a five-star mentor or coach? Okay. Some of you are not interested. That's all right. The answer to how to get a five-star mentor or coach is go get one, okay? My son took graduate school in the U.S. First, it was an MBA. Then he couldn't find a job. Then he said, Dad, will you support me? I want to take another master's degree. I said, you're crazy, right? No, I just want to make you poorer, sabi niya. I want to take MS taxation. So I said, what on earth is your game plan? He said, I need to become MBA plus. So MBA na, MS taxation pa. Because, sabi ko, what is the objective? I want to enter Ernst & Young. That is the SGV of America, okay? In the taxation consultancy group. And sabi niya, I don't know what happened to me. I'm a marketing person. I fell in love with accounting. And I became very good in accounting. Pag nagbulakbul yung professor ko, I am the professor. And I got very good grades, almost straight A. Praise the Lord. So he said, Dad, it's just going to be 1 year because a lot of my MBA will be credited to a master's in taxation. And I have 50% discount because of my grades. I will work as a teacher's assistant. Sabi ko, what about the board and lodging? This is Manhattan, okay? Very expensive. Sabi niya, yun nga eh. That's why I'm making hirit, all right? But Dad, sabi niya, I'll pay you back. This time, I'll pay you back. Meaning, yung MBA, he's not gonna pay me back. This time, I'll pay you back. You're too young to know this, but, you know, I'm warning you, when your children say, I'll pay you back, that was 14 years ago. I have not seen $1 back in my account. In fairness, I've had 4 free dinners in New York when I visited him. He opens his book. He can't understand a few things about taxation. And he says, wow, what do I do now? He does something extremely impressive as far as I am concerned. He Googles the author. Dear sir, would you mind very much? I will buy you lunch, 1 hour. I need help in some of my questions. I will email to you my questions in advance so you can prepare yourself. You walk into the restaurant, 60 minutes later, you can walk out. I need 1 hour of your time to understand some of the concepts. I need you to mentor me, okay? My son's calling me. He said, Dad, it happened. In fact, not only did he show up, he paid for the lunch. And he was wondering, am I being reverse discriminated? You know what reverse discrimination is? Regular discrimination is I don't like you because you're not white. Reverse discrimination is I like you extra because you're not white. In other words, I'm gonna patronize you, okay? So I don't think so. You guys remember did I teach you the affirmation box principle? No, I didn't teach you affirmation box. You're kidding me. No, are you the same class that I met last time? No one drew this session two. No one drew an affirmation box. Yeah, early onset of Alzheimer's. Okay, anyway. Everyone has an affirmation box. It's called the psychological bank account. Okay? When you compliment people, you deposit in that psychological bank account. When you rebuke people, you withdraw from that bank account. And so, I think I told my son, you just poured a lot of affirmation on this man because he's an author. Do you guys know J.K. Rowling? What book did she author? Harry Potter. Would you believe in one sequel of Harry Potter, she received 300,000 emails from fans? Okay? Now, answer me this. How much fan mail does a taxation textbook author get? Probably zero. Until the email of my son. When the email came, he said, I knew it. I'm a worthwhile individual. Okay? So, my son told me, you know, Dad, in the middle of that lunch, I asked him, sir, would you mind very much if every quarter or every now and then I will email you to ask you for help? Well, the guy agreed. And I said, Paolo, the guy's looking at you as Paolo Castillo, founder, chairman, president, lone member of my fans club. So my son gets into an internet mentoring relationship. Okay? He finishes his taxation degree. Towards the end of the year, he calls this guy and they talk. He said, sir, would you mind very much? One last favor. Can I put your name as part of my resume references? Paolo, founder, chairman, lone member of my fans club. Of course. There are two openings in Ernst & Young. The New York economy has not yet recovered from the Twin Tower bombing. I don't know, 1,000 resumes, 2,000, descend upon Ernst & Young. If there is an almost straight-A student from Fordham, that's the school of my son, Fordham University in New York. Fordham is not Ivy League. It's probably top 100 out of 5,000. Not bad, but not Ivy League, not Harvard or Wharton or, Northwestern, et cetera, et cetera. If there's an almost straight-A student in Fordham, there are real straight-A students from Harvard and Wharton and Stanford, et cetera, who are competing for the same jobs. They prune down the thousands of resumes. Top 100, Paolo's still there. Top 50, he's still there. Top 10, he's still there. Top 5, he's still there. And then he gets a call. And they tell him, Paolo, you're hired. To which he said, why? What he meant was, how? How did I make it? I'm just curious. Oh, sabi nila, we're, at a certain cutoff, competence is a commodity. Tabla-tabla na sila. We screen for character, and we're hiring you because of your integrity. I mean, integrity, you hardly know me. And they said, on the other hand, Paolo, we feel we know you very well. So young people, listen to me. Be careful what you post in your social network, because they vetted his internet footprint, and they told him everything they knew about him, and he was amazed. So my son was telling me this. We were laughing over the phone. And I said, I know what. There's also one thing that they did. They must have looked at your resume and looked at the reference. And they must have said, who is this Pinoy kid think he's fooling? Putting as part of his references an esteemed... I mean, if you are a taxation textbook author in New York, you are probably a consultant of Ernst & Young, of the tax consultancy group. And they probably know this guy by first name. They might have called him, and the conversation might have gone like this. The guy picks up the phone. He says, yeah? Who? Paolo Castillo? That's how Castillo is pronounced in America. Castillo? Paolo Castillo? Yeah. He's my main man. can. We're tied, baby, we're tied. So my son and I were laughing. He enters Ernst & Young, his dream job. And he said, "Dad, is the best mentoring organization I've ever joined. As a newbie, you pick among the top executives who you want to become your mentor. In theory, they can decline. In practice, they cannot decline." So my son is working. He gets into a problem. He picks up the phone. Bill, let's say Bill is his mentor's name. "I have a problem." And Bill will say, "Come up, Paolo, let's talk about it." And he gets 5-star mentoring, okay? So the only variable between an almost straight-A student and real straight-A students was the mentoring. And yet he beat all of those people, thank God. So you want to get a 5-star mentor? Well, go get one. Number one, in what area do you want to be mentored? This is the procedure. In what area do I want to be mentored? Is it in management? Is it in leadership? Is it in life in general? Whatever. Is it in marketing, accounting, communication? In what area do I want to be mentored? Number two, who is the best in this area? Who is the Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather, Tiger Woods? Who is the best in this area? Number three, Google the guy or the girl. Find a certain connection to that person and say, "Dear sir, dear ma'am, you don't know me. My name is so-and-so. Would you mind very much?" In other words, ask to be mentored, okay? It's essentially if you have a connection. The connection of my son to the author was they were using his textbook, okay? Now, you could say, "Sir, you don't know me, but my third cousin and your neighbor's niece are classmates," or whatever it is. But try to get a connection, okay? And then you'll be surprised at how easily you will get a 5-star mentor. This happened in the Philippines. I'm telling the same story to a commercial seminar audience. One guy came up to me, and he said, "I'll do exactly what your son did." And he got a big CEO, CEO of a big company. This guy makes 30,000 pesos an hour without bonuses. I mean, if you add in bonuses and stock options, he's got cash coming out of his ears. But he told this 27-year-old manager, "Sure, come to my office," and they have a once a quarter mentoring relationship. You know why? Because CEOs want to give back. I am mentoring 18 people, 80% by phone, okay? And it's, you want to get a 5-star mentor, get one, all right? So, back to you. Do you mentor or coach your people? It's a rhetorical question. Something that we will talk about right now. Yun pala problema nito. Pag hindi mo inisigasa ng matagal, humihingi ng password. All right. Why mentor or coach anyone? Okay? Why mentor or coach anyone? Well, because someone needs or asks to be mentored. Can I get that slide? Because someone needs or asks to be mentored or coached. It is to help people recognize and address their issues and prevent them from seeing their potential, or performing excellently. It is a leadership mindset that believes people's latent potential can be unleashed by helping them discover, access, and develop it. When you look at that, you will conclude, you know, how many of you are parents? How many parents here? Okay? Konti lang ang parents. I better use non-parental examples. If you're a parent, mentoring and coaching, no difference from parenting, okay? If you're not a parent, listen to me, I want you to get married tomorrow. No, I'm just if you are not a parent, I want you to victimize your nieces and nephews. Are you listening? Because as a tita or tito, you are even more effective in many respects than parents. Because parents have emotional baggages with your children. Pinalo mo akong maliit eh. Kanya mas malubog sa'yo. But si tita, hindi ako pinalo niyan. Paano? Tita lang siya eh. So mas open ako kay tita. Or mas open ako kay tito. So Titus and Titus have even better, in some respects, even better relationships than parents and children. Because parents may emotional baggage. Maraming atraso yung magulang. Right? Nagkasamaan na ng loob. So the theme will be, you will realize, by the way, if you're not yet a parent, this is excellent preparation for parenting. Okay? But I want you to think about your nieces and nephews that you will begin to victimize as soon as possible. I want you to develop relationships with them and start mentoring and coaching them. Yan ang training ground mo. Okay. The mentoring and coaching imperative, if you don't take the time to coach or mentor your people, your team will not develop the capacity to achieve breakthrough goals. As a leader, manager, you will fall into the gap trap. What on earth is the gap trap? Page 39. On the vertical axis are goals. On the horizontal axis is time. I have a 3-year time frame here. The solid horizontal line is your group's competency level or learning curve. Click that slide. Right. See, that is the competency level of your people if you are not mentoring or coaching them. It's also called the learning curve. It's flat. It's supposed to go in tandem with goals. But in this hypothetical example, the manager refuses or is unwilling or is unable to mentor or coach his or her people. So flattened learning curve. Year one target is higher than the competency level of the team. Who fills the gap? There's a gap between the goal and the competency level. Click the slide. Who fills the gap? Who else? You're the leader. You fill the gap. So you do. And your boss says, very good. I knew I could depend on you. Here's your goal for next year. Did you notice the goal every year is higher than the following year, the prior year? When I was in Warner Lambert, I had a joke with my boss. I said, hey, Rod, how come the goal next year is always higher than the prior year? Sabi niya, ganun talaga eh. Sabi ko, I have a suggestion. Sabi niya, what? Why don't we lower next year's goal? Lower than this year. Oh, sige, sabi niya, update mo na rin resume mo, umalis ka na rito. That was my running joke with him. And he gave me a line. Sabi niya, Alex, remember, the problem with life is it's too daily. How we wish we could turn off life. I want to take a vacation from life for 3 weeks and without dying, then I'll come back. I want to rest from life. But he's right. The problem with life is it's too daily. So year two, the gap is even bigger. Who fills the gap? Who else? You're the leader. So by some miracle, you make the target. And your boss said, I knew I could rely on you. Two things are happening now. You are enjoying the Messiah syndrome. Buti na lang, magaling ako. Hindi. Ito mga bata akong to. Walang mangyayari sa buhay nila. Worse, your people are developing a dependency on you. Buti lang nandito si boss, kundi paano naman kami. It's a vicious cycle that feeds into itself. Year three, the goal is way higher. The gap is way bigger. Who fills the gap? Maybe the leader, or maybe it's your replacement. Because now you're burnt out. Your marriage is on the rocks. Your relationships are on the rocks. Your children don't recognize you. You don't go home anymore. You have fallen into the gap trap. Okay? Unless you mentor or coach your people, and it is a daily thing, you will fall into the gap trap. Why we should mentor and coach people? The case for mentoring and coaching. Number one, massive changes have redefined how people are treated and trained. There's a huge shift from the vertical to the flat organizational models. Multi-location, multicultural, multi-time zone teams, a wider span of supervision puts a limit on direct control. There's an acute need for teamwork and empowerment. Command and control is out, influencing and delegation is in. In organizations today, business, nonprofits, churches, all of these things are happening, whether you accept them or not, whether you agree with them or not, these are happening. And in this kind of an environment, you must learn to mentor or coach if you are to become effective. Okay? Second, the case for mentoring and coaching. Education and basic training are inadequate for people development. I'm on page 40. People learn and grow in ways the classroom system of education and basic training programs do not address. Education lags behind what business needs in terms of knowledge relevant to jobs, and company trainees still need to translate imparted knowledge to actual job situations. What do I mean? In a classroom system, it's teacher to class. It's one way. Sure, I can engage you and get and on a you can engage with me on a two-way basis. But sa dami ninyo, I cannot possibly do that for each and every one of you. It's generally one way, teacher to class. In a mentoring or coaching relationship, it's one-to-one. So there is engagement, okay? Number two, the problem with the classroom system is you get more information than you need at the time. Example, when my son graduated from MBA, in theory, he could run a company. He knew how to run a company, in theory. But he will not be able to run a company until he becomes CEO, which might be 20 years after graduation. In other words, he got the information before he needed it. In his entry-level job in Ernst & Young, he did not need all of the information he got in MBA. So that's a classic case of too much information at once. In a mentoring and coaching relationship, I will give you just that incremental amount of knowledge that you need to solve the exact problem that you have right now. No more, no less, okay? When I took early retirement, I wanted to organize my investments because I will have no more salary. It's my savings plus my retirement. I have to invest that, and the yield from those investments is what we will eat, okay? So I decided I'm going to do an Excel file of my investments. Right. I sat down. Within 3 seconds, I discovered I don't know how to do an Excel file. I thought by reading Excel file reports from my people when I was president in Del Monte that somehow through osmosis I will know how to do an Excel file. In reality, I realized I have never done one Excel file in my entire life because there was no reason to. 50 people will volunteer to do an Excel file for me. So I did the next best thing. I did an Excel file using Word, which is next to impossible. It is better than writing it down. I said, this will never happen again. So the next day, I go to Alabang Town Center, to the computer store. They have a sideline on tutorials. I enroll for Excel. I have a 19-year-old teacher, computer science, who teaches me Excel. Sabi ko, napakadali naman pala niyang Excel na yan. So I graduate from Excel tutorial university. The most dangerous man alive because I know Excel. The problem is I did not update my file immediately. Tinamad eh. 6 months later, I have to update my investment file. Ah, no problem. Excel graduate. I sit down and I said, paano na nga ba to? I forget the information because I got it way before I needed it. So I said, wow. Alam ka naman mag-enroll ako ulit. Alam nga naman, magpunta ako, magtanong ako na, paano na nga ba to? So I remember my assistant, she's in the office, and I'm at home. I call her up. Hey, Pam, are you in front of your laptop? Yes, sir. MacBook Pro? Yes, sir. MacBook Pro din ako. Good. I need some help. Marunong ka ba ng Excel? Oo naman, sir. Natatawa siguro. Oo naman, sir. Like a stupid question. Sige. Pwede ba sabay tayo? Alam ko to eh, nakalimutan ko lang. Sir, how can I help you? So sabi ko, huwag sanang tatawa. Paano magumawa ng formula? Oh sir, you click the cell. Sabi ko, slowly speak English. What do you mean? Ano yung cell? Yung box na maliit. Okay. Click the cell, then click the equal sign, and then kung gusto mong addition, kung gusto mong multiplication, ganun gagawin mo. So she taught me, don't move. Don't hang up. I will do something. I want you to do it also. I want to know if the answer is the same so that I know I learned. It was the same. I learned. Okay, next question. Pam, I have to add a column of numbers. Paano nga ba yan? She's probably dying of laughter here. Sabi niya, you highlight it, and then click again, then sum, whatever. I can't even tell you what it is. I know how to do it. I can't tell you how to do it. Make a long story short, I do it. And then, stupid me, just to make sure the computer was right, I added them manually. And when I convinced myself that I did the right thing, Pam, thank you very much. Now, that is mentoring. I did not need the background of Excel, the inventor of Excel, the present state of Excel, and the future trends in Excel. I just needed, paano gawa na formula? I needed that incremental input to unravel my problems, to solve my problems. That is exactly what mentoring is. Okay? In a classroom system, I have to have all of this information. Okay, so finally, in a classroom system, the venue is not the workplace. Okay? In a mentoring system, the venue of the training is on the job. So, mas relevant. Mas relevant. Okay. All right. The reason why mentoring and coaching differs from the classroom system is how we learn and grow. I'm on page 40. We learn and grow by doing. We learn and grow through encouraging feedback. We learn and grow incrementally. Substantial change occurs over time. Have you ever heard a lecture on how to ride a bike? No. You learn how to ride a bike by riding a bike. You learn by doing. Have you attended a lecture on how to swim? Unlikely. You do not learn how to swim by attending a lecture on how to. You learn how to swim by being in the pool and the instructor tells you what to do. You learn by doing, okay? In a classroom system, you don't learn by doing. You learn by writing notes and memorizing stuff. In a mentoring and coaching relationship, as you are doing your job, I'm mentoring you. So, kanya, you will learn faster and you will retain the lesson. We learn and grow through encouraging feedback. In a classroom system, I cannot give you feedback. Kasi marami kayo. In a mentor and coaching relationship, I can give you feedback kasi one-on-one tayo. We grow incrementally. Substantial change occurs over time. So, hey, I just needed how to do a formula. But guess what? Boy, I have been having a ball with Excel because my Excel skills have increased. Over time, even though we grow incrementally, over time, the changes are massive. Okay, wala pong iniwan niya sa discipleship. Okay? Unti-unti mo siyang i-input. And parang walang nangyayari. But over time, Lord willing, and given the response of your disciple, the changes will be massive. Okay? It's like watching a tree grow. You know it's growing, but you won't notice it. But if you can stand in front of a mango seedling for 8 years, okay, you will see it grow. Inga lang, patay ka na kasi you died of starvation. But you know what I mean? All right. Transformational growth happens through information, through motivation, not information. In a classroom system, you get information. In a mentor and coaching relationship, it is motivation. Now, I want you to remember that, okay? I'm going to download a lot of information to you. But information in and of itself will not transform you. It is when you do something about the information. I told you about the three frogs on a log, or... I knew this was the same class. So until you actually jump into the water. So you're going to learn a lot of things here, but until information is commodity. Value is added to your life when you get the motivation to actually apply some of the lessons. In a mentoring and coaching relationship, you will be motivated by your mentor to apply. In a classroom system, there is no application. It's just note-taking, memorization, etc. Internal motivation produces more lasting change than external pressure. In a classroom system, there's a lot of external pressure. You have to absorb a lot of knowledge and pass the test. Okay? In a mentoring coaching relationship, there's no pressure. I'm going to give you my opinion on how to attack a problem. If you don't want to follow my advice, hey, I'm not going to force you. There is no pressure. There's no external pressure. I'm going to tap into your internal motivation. And that's the skill of a mentor coach. We are most motivated when we act on our own ideas and plans. Number 3, the case for mentoring and coaching. Mentoring and coaching develop a competitive advantage that is difficult to match, because mentoring and coaching organizations preserve the accumulated knowledge of their people by continuously transmitting it to others within the organization. This enlarges the base of knowledge owners, setting the foundation for innovation and leadership development. An organization that does this consistently develops a competitive advantage that is difficult to match. What is the competitive advantage of an organization who constantly mentors and coaches their people? It's this. I'm mentoring Leo. I download to Leo information, knowledge, and insight. Before I did that, the owner of the information, knowledge, and insight was just me. Now there are two of us. Then I'm mentoring Anna on something else. I download to Anna insight, information, and knowledge. Prior to that, ako lang may-ari nun. Ngayon, dalawa na kami. As I mentor more and more people, I increase the base of knowledge owners of my knowledge. If I resign, the knowledge does not resign with me. If I die, the knowledge does not die with me, because it is preserved in the organization through continuous transmittal. In Procter & Gamble, it was very, very systematic. Not only was the mentoring verbal, it was in writing. I'm a 19-year-old brand assistant in Procter & Gamble, freshly minted college graduate, okay? My second dream, my first dream was to enter Ateneo and graduate from Ateneo, which I did. My second dream is to join Procter & Gamble, which I did. I'm 19 years old. I'm in the Star Margarine brand group in brand management. Wow. Now, the boss of the brand group is the brand manager. His assistant is the assistant brand manager. Their slave is the brand assistant. I am the brand assistant. But there are special perks for slave. Did you know that? Have you ever felt like a slave in your work? Yeah. There's a consolation, folks. Slaves cannot be fired. They are sold. Okay? Anyway, I was the slave of the Star Margarine brand group. Okay? Tatanga-tanga ako. I know nothing about Star Margarine or marketing. I know nothing. I just graduated. My boss sends me a three-ring binder. It's called the Star Margarine Fact Book, F-A-C-T. We also call it the Star Margarine Fat Book. Pagkataba-taba yung three-ring binder na yan. What is in the Star Margarine Fact Book? First, the history of Star Margarine. The product strategy of Star Margarine. The packaging strategy, pricing strategy, promotion strategy, copy strategy, media strategy of Star Margarine. Research, essential research of Star Margarine. Usage, attitude, and image studies of Star Margarine. What worked in Star Margarine? What did not work in Star Margarine? In other words, distilled knowledge, information, and insight written concisely, easy to grasp. Produced by generation upon generation of prior Star Margarine brand groups. 19.5 years old me, 6 months later, I am an expert in Star Margarine because of the fact book. I am an expert, or so I thought, in marketing principles because of the fact book. I'm beginning to learn general management because I'm learning from the fact book. In other words, rather than just verbal transmittal of information, insight, and knowledge, Procter & Gamble codifies it, captures it permanently. And way before, I'm telling you, this is 1970s, all right? I mean, some of your parents have not yet met, I think. Okay, this is a long time ago, way before knowledge management was fashionable. Procter & Gamble was already doing knowledge management. Today, in organizations have so much information, more information than they know what to do with. Kanya nga po, data analytics is now a cottage industry. Not a cottage, it's an emerging industry. Because businesses, organizations have more information because of the internet than they know what to do with. And there's now an industry that will tell organizations, hey, we have the skill to get into your information and to organize it and to tell you what it means. so that you can be more effective businessmen. But way before this was happening, I realized now Procter & Gamble's doing knowledge management. You know why? To mentor and coach their people, not only verbally, but in writing. My goodness. I thought all the companies were doing that. When I left Procter & Gamble, there were no people who were doing fact books. But the point is this. The information, insight, and knowledge was transmitted to us. And so when the brand manager leaves Star Margarine, the Star Margarine business will not collapse because the information, insight, and knowledge is preserved. Okay? Yun. Yun ang power ng mentoring and coaching. All right. Mentor and coach, the new meaning of leader, page 41. Okay? To be an effective leader is, click that slide for me. To be an effective leader means to be a mentor coach, sabi ni Tony Stoltzfus. And my only advice to Mr. Stoltzfus is to please change his family name because it's hard to pronounce. Jack Welch, former CEO of General Electric, said, in the future, people who are not mentors, coaches, will not be promoted. Why is mentor coach the new word for leader? Leadership is blank, nothing more, nothing less. What's the answer? Leadership is blank, nothing more, nothing less. Influence. Wow, para kayo nag-aral, eh? You know what? The most potent way to influence people is to mentor and coach them. Did you hear me? The most potent way to influence people is to mentor or coach them. Okay? Why? Because you're going to be in, if I'm mentoring you, I'm pouring my life into you. I'm spending time with you. I'm sharing with you information, insight, and knowledge. You're going to be indebted to me. And you're going to have a very favorable disposition towards me. I will have a lot of influence over you as a result. That is why if parents do their jobs well, they'll have tremendous influence over their children. Okay? So, the new meaning of leader is mentor coach. You want to be a leader? Learn to be a mentor coach. Okay? In fact, GE said, if you are not a mentor coach, you will not be promoted. Mentoring and coaching, two paradigms in people development. Mentoring is the impartation and advice-giving paradigm. Coaching is the empowerment paradigm. Okay? I'll explain later. They are non-excluding. Both paradigms are needed for optimum leadership effectiveness. Next, mentoring and coaching are advanced approaches in people development. This is the flow of developing people, okay? Basic training is when the individual has a low base of knowledge and skills, no confidence, eager but uninformed. So, bagito pa. Kailangan niya training, basic information, how to do the job, where is the bathroom, etc., etc., all right? Once the individual has some knowledge and skills, maski na lacking in confidence but response and motivation, you begin to mentor, which is an advice-giving, experience-sharing paradigm. When the individual is self-motivated, is more mature and more knowledgeable, it is the self-management paradigm. It's the coaching paradigm. Where mentoring and coaching are similar, number one, they are relationship-based. Relationship-based. What does that mean? You cannot mentor or coach anyone if you do not have a minimum level of relationship with him or her. Why? When I'm coaching you, I need information from you. You have to open up to me. If we have no relationship, you're not going to do that. You're not going to be comfortable in opening up to me. Parang discipleship. I cannot disciple you if we don't have a minimum level of relationship. Kanya, hindi po ba ang strategy ng victory? Build relationships, and then share the gospel and disciple them. Okay, so they are relationship-based. By the way, we did relationship building in session 2. So the seminar builds on its own modules, all right? Number 2, they are focused conversations, issue-driven, goal-centered, okay? Mentoring and coaching is nothing more than talking to people. It's conversing with people. Kaya lang, I'm conversing with JC. Bachelors or married? Married. JC, how's the wife? She's, how many kids, JC?
We're expecting 1 year.
Wonderful. How many years married?
One and a half years.
Wow. How long have you been with Victory?
Since 2008.
Okay, now, that's a conversation. But that is not a mentoring conversation. It's a relationship-building conversation. Nothing wrong with that conversation, but it is a relationship-building conversation. It is not a mentoring conversation, okay? James, para entro ba mo sa Pioneer? Okay, so, music director, you're in charge of getting volunteers for the music, okay? Kulang-kulang ang music team, let's say, sa Pioneer. And so we had a problem the last Sunday, daming absent. So I have a chat with James. Hey, James, I'm the senior pastor, okay? What happened last Sunday? How come hindi kompleto yung music team and we had to scramble to get volunteers? Now, that is a mentoring conversation because may issue. How come hindi buo yung music team? May goal ako to find out from James what the problem is and what he will do so that mabuo namin yung music team. Are you with me? So, mentoring coaching is just a conversation, but it is not chikahan. It is not relationship building. There is an issue and there is a goal. It requires accountability from the mentor and coach individual. Okay? Next Sunday, if the music team is not still buo, uupuan ko na naman si James. I'm going to ask James, James, what happened to our agreement? You said you're going to do so and such and such activity para mabuo yung music team mo. So I'm holding him accountable for what we agreed. The next time I see JC, if I ask him, how's the wife? Nagkasakit, boss eh. I'm not going to say, ba't siya nagkasakit? Kasi hindi ko siya hahanap na accountability because it's just relationship building. Are you with me? All right. Click. Provide support to improve goal achievement and growth. And both are based on the conviction that people's latent potential can be unleashed by helping them discover, access, and develop it. Where do they differ, okay? Where do they differ? Number one, the mentor ultimately dispenses the solution. The coach always elicits it from the individual. I am mentoring Ethel. Ethel has an issue on sangka operations, Ethel. Here in the fort? Okay, so let's say we have an operations issue. And there's a problem. And Ethel reports to me. And I say, Ethel, what do you think is the solution? And she makes a suggestion. And I don't think it's right. So I say, okay, I'm not sure that's a good idea. What about this? So I lead her to an answer, and she gives me another suggestion, and I still don't think it's the right one, let's say. I ask another question, leading her to the answer. She still doesn't get it. At that time, okay, I will decide as mentor to ultimately dispense the solution. Yan ang mentor. When I coach, however, I will never give it to Ethel. I'm going to insist, Ethel, kaya mo yan. I'm going to draw it out of her, okay? You'll see it later, okay? Click the slide. A mentor is a subject matter expert. A coach is a behavioral change expert, okay? You cannot coach people in accounting if you don't know accounting. You cannot coach people in marketing if you're not a good marketing person. You cannot coach people on how to disciple others if you are not a discipler. You cannot coach people on how to preach if you're not a preacher, a good one. You have to be a subject matter expert, okay? A coach, however, is a behavioral change expert. Hindi technical ang expertise mo. It is human behavior change. Now, there are implications. First, on the subject matter expertise. Because mentor is a subject matter expert, mentoring is age agnostic. What do I mean? In the U.S., there are 12-year-old children, young people, mentoring 45-year-old marketing executives on how to develop and market computer games. Because the 12-year-old is the subject matter expert. Okay? Pag mentoring, it is age agnostic. What qualifies you as a mentor is subject matter expertise. Are you with me? So, my 27-year-old daughter, my única hija, my youngest, is my mentor on social media. Because I have no idea what social media is. I'm invisible to Mark Zuckerberg. I am not a member of anything. I do not exist in cyberspace. I am an analog caveman, okay? So, Stefan is the one who tells me, you know, what these things all mean, okay? And she's the subject matter expert. Pam, my assistant, is a subject matter expert on Excel. I'm much older than Pam. Doesn't matter. She's the subject matter expert. I'm the bobo in Excel, but no longer, okay? Thanks to Pam, okay? So, coach is a behavioral change expert. A internet security company called me up. Mr. Castillo, we want to engage your services. I said, are you sure you don't have the wrong number? Because I am the last person to know anything about the internet, let alone internet security. Oh, no, sir, we have no delusions about your lack of knowledge in that area. We are calling you because we want you to teach us how to change from being non-leaders to leaders. Ah. Kung ganun, may pag-asa ako dyan. So, hey, in my roster of clients is this humongous internet security company, multinational company. Just to show you, their clients are the CIA and the FBI. And when President Obama needed security on his BlackBerry, guess who the company was that helped him? It was this company. Fascinating people. I mean, weird geniuses. I mean, strange people. To me, anyone expert in internet security is a weird, weird person. But they're actually normal, pretty normal people, but very amazing people. They just don't know how to lead one another. So, you're getting the difference, huh? Mentoring and coaching. Finally, mentoring is imparting to you what God has given to me. Coaching is drawing out of you what God has given to you. I like that. Mentoring is imparting to you what God has given to me. Coaching is drawing out of you what God has put into you. Okay? When do you mentor? When do you coach? Three factors drive the decision. The business context. What are you trying to accomplish? How ready is the individual to take on a task or goal, and how critical is time? In other words, you train, mentor, or coach depending on the situation. Because training, mentoring, and coaching, just like leadership styles, is situational. Everyone say situational. Okay, so what should I do? Should I train? Should I mentor? Should I coach? It depends. What is the situation? And we will talk more about that after the break.